Hello, I'm Dorothy. In the mid-1990s, a group of older women shared their experiences of feminism at 10:40 dinner and discussion evenings. Their stories were recorded on tape. The podcast that you're about to hear is made from one of these recordings. The following questions shaped their stories. What attracted you to feminism? How has feminism impacted on your life? What have been your positive experiences of feminism? Have there been any disappointments? And what are your issues now? This is Diana's story.
I think I was a feminist almost from the day I was born, certainly before I knew the meaning of the word. I think I had a fairly non-traditional sort of family life. I certainly didn't grow up in a nuclear family. Your story about your mother going to the country during the war, I was born in 45, but my mother had the same experience where she was already living in Tamworth and her sister was evacuated by her husband with her two small children to the country. I mean, actually moving closer to the north, so if an invasion force had come from Darwin, they would have gotten them first, but that didn't seem to be rational at the time. And I think my mother had that same experience, that she and her sister were together. My uncle stayed in Sydney, my father was located in Tamworth, but they were there, the two women were there, two new babies, even though they were 10 years apart. They both had children born in 1941, and I think they also were the happiest years of her life, for these babies in the country. So my mother's life sort of took a turn, I was going to say after I was born, but that's not quite the right thing. I didn't quite mean it like that. My father died when I was only quite small, I was about one, and so she'd been brought up, had never actually had to work, she'd been sort of stayed home as her mother's assistant, and so in her early 30s she was widowed, had one child of five, my brother and me, about one, and her view of the world was that you got married and it was happily ever after, and so her life was dashed by that. She returned to Sydney, we all returned to Sydney, and we lived with her parents. So I grew up in an extended family with sort of the senior male head of the household was my grandfather, who was in his 70s at that stage, but whom I had a very positive relationship, and my grandmother. And there were lots of, within the area, lots of great aunts and uncles and, you know, all sorts of people. My grandmother subsequently became disabled and was in a wheelchair. I had a great aunt who was deaf, and so we just grew up as a matter of course in this wider context of older people who were highly respected, people with disability, and so on. So that was quite a different sort of environment from the family point of view. My mother had to work, and she'd never worked in her life and had no training for work, and so she worked in a shoe shop, and she did that most of her life. She actually worked in David Jones for quite a long time, and my early images of her were running. She ran everywhere, and she was as, you know, thin as a stick because she did that. Because as well as working, she did take on still quite a lot of the caring and domestic role. Nevertheless, my grandfather, in his 70s, and, you know, born in about, I don't know, 1870-something, he actually took on a lot of the caring and domestic role as well. So, you know, my early images were that men could and did do that sort of work. I mean, he cooked dinner, he did the washing, and I'm talking about, you know, the late 40s and early 50s. So that was quite a different sort of lifestyle to many. So that was a very early lesson, that, you know, about equity, that was quite acceptable and quite reasonable, that would be the way things should be. I didn't realise until years later how much different, you know, my life was to perhaps a lot of other people. The other lesson I learnt, I think, during that time was and it was just something that I always knew, it was always there, to develop career options. Never really let yourself be in that position of not having something, some sort of valid form of work that could really give you a reasonable income and some control over your own sort of life. And even if you did move in and out of the workforce, to never actually, you know, lose touch with some capacity to be able to earn and control your own destiny. That was also an ingrained lesson. school, when I think about it, I think I was in co-ed from kindergarten to whatever, first, second grade. And after that, I was in all female classes. I didn't ever have a man teacher. The schools were always run by women, strong women, right through to the end of my secondary school. So, I mean, I'd come up in an environment where women did all of those things. They were powerful, they were well organised, they were managers, they were decision makers. Did I get a surprise when I left school in 1960, end of 1962, and sort of met, you know, the real world? Just as an aside, I often think about, you know, the women and the teachers who were at my school. I would now like to go back and talk to them and find out a lot more about, you know, their life and their existence and their politics. I see references to them from time to time in publications, and I'm sort of think, oh, but that was my teacher, and I only knew her as the French teacher. You know, what a pity I didn't know about all those other sort of aspects of her life, because they were very strong forces. And even at